The blessing of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious grace freely bestowed in the Son, and the power of the promised Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of creation, eternal majesty, you preside over land and sea, sunshine and storm. By your strength pilot us, by your power preserve us, and by your wisdom instruct us, and by your hand protect us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from 1 Samuel. David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth, and if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God." David said, "The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will save me from the hand of the Philistines." So Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I am not used to them." So David removed them. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in his shepherd's bag in the pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds and the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into his hand." When the Philistine drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out his stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on the forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. The word of the Lord. Let us read Psalm 9 responsively. You, O Lord, will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble.
Those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you never forsake those who seek you, O Lord.
Sing praise to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Proclaim to the peoples the things God has done.
You measure the blood of ruin under them, and the
Be gracious to me, O Lord. See the misery I suffer for those who hate me, that you lift me up from the gates of death. The nations have fallen into the pit they dug, in the snare they set, their own foot is caught.
The Lord has revealed an act of justice, for which they are trapped in the works of their own hands.
The nations go down to the grave, all the peoples that forget God.
For the needy shall not always be forgotten, nor shall the hope of the poor be taken away.
Rise up, O Lord, let not mortals have the upper hand, let the nations be judged before you.
Put them in fear, O Lord, let the nations know that they are no more.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and then will be forever. Amen. A reading from 2 Corinthians. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time, I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation, I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, and holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. With the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. The word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On that day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Life has been compared to crossing a body of water. Birth is being launched onto the sea. Every breath we take wafts us closer to that far eternal shore. There are stormy latitudes, but one becomes a skillful sailor, not when the sea is smooth, but when it is rough and we are able to cope. The last sandbar to be crossed is death. And as Tennyson wrote, we hope to see the pilot face to face when we have crossed the bar. So powerful is this image that the inside of a church is called the nave, which, like the word navy, comes from the Latin word for ship. The church was thought of as the ship carrying people across the sea of life to the harbor. Today, Jesus talks about crossing the sea, but the only sea he ever knew was that little Sea of Galilee, harp-shaped, in the midst of mountains, which were like a funnel so that the wind would swirl and stir up the waves, suggesting Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Today, I thought we would simply let the words of the text be the way through which God speaks to us in our time. Let us cross over to the other side. On that day is the way the text begins. Now, Mark seldom calls attention to time. Why does he say on that day? What happened on that day? The previous chapter indicates that he spent the whole day teaching. One parable after another fell from his lips. And then he said, let's go over to the other side. Perhaps this suggests that teachings alone are not enough. We can know all about Jesus without knowing Jesus. We can know all about the Christian faith without having the faith for ourselves. We can quote scripture, know the stories, pass any difficult seminary test, and still not be people of faith. Long years ago, when I was in military service, I heard a chaplain preach a sermon which he called 18 Inches from Heaven. He indicated that the head and the heart are about 18 inches apart. And he talked about people who have a head knowledge of Jesus and of faith, but don't have this in their heart. And he called his sermon 18 Inches from Heaven. On that day, Jesus said, let's cross over. Cross over from the head to the heart. On that day, when evening had come, of course, it was getting dusk, the end of the day, but evening times come in our lives. The bottom seems to fall out of our dreams and hopes and plans. Every day seems like Blue Monday. We are distraught. We are perplexed. And then in our perplexity at this time, Jesus got into the boat. That's the way it works. He gets into the boat with us, into our situations where we are at the present time, and whispers to us his words of peace. When the disciples were in the upper room on that third day after the crucifixion, Jesus came to them in their perplexity and said, peace be unto you. My peace I give to you. I noticed that Doris chose as our first communion hymn, Precious Lord, Take My Hand, written by Thomas Dorsey. Years ago, I figured out the time when I saw how long he lived. Must have been about 16 years ago. Mary and I went to a large dinner in honor of Thomas Dorsey, who was very old. He died a few months after that. I remember it well. We sat at the same table with Pete Seeger. And they talked about Precious Lord, Take My Hand. In the 1930s, the late 1930s, he was a jazz musician in Chicago. His wife died, and the child died during childbirth. And in his distraught state, he said, "Precious Lord, take my hand." We move from perplexity to peace. Let us cross over when evening had come. And leaving the crowd behind, there on the west side of the Sea of Galilee, crowds of people were hearing, were listening. And Jesus said, "Let's leave the crowd behind." They would go to a place where they could be alone with him. How necessary it is for us to leave things behind. So many things make their claims on us, all sorts of things. And some of these we must leave behind. Sometimes I think life is like a giant showcase in which somebody has rearranged the price tag. The things that aren't very valuable seem to be most important, and the valuable things seem less important. And we make our choices, leaving some of these things behind. Since the gospel is about sailing in the sea, I thought of the story of a sailor whose ship came to port. He went to town, and when he came back to the ship, he asked his buddies to borrow money. And they said, "Well, you had all that money. What did you do with it? How did you spend it?" "Well," he said, I spent some on liquor, I spent some on women, and the rest I spent foolishly." We make our choices. And Jesus tells us to come away from the crowd to be with him. A couple chapters later, I think it's chapter 7 in Mark's gospel, Jesus heals a deaf mute. And the text specifically said he took the man aside. Sometimes he takes us aside by illness, by the death of a loved one, by something which seems to hold us down and keeps us fast. Then the subtle things of life pass away, and he speaks directly to us. I have a little poem, not great poetry, but I like what it says. God sometimes shuts the door and shuts us in, that he may speak, perhaps through grief or pain, and softly heart to heart above the din, may tell some precious thought to us again. God sometimes shuts the door, that while shut in, we may commune with him alone, and in the silent calm assurance win that he would have us for his very own. Apart with God, O wondrous thought, apart with peace his sufferings brought, apart with love that wields the rod, O company blessed, apart from God. Let us cross over to the other side, leaving the crowds behind. And they took him with them into the boat, just as he was. That's the only way we can take Jesus. In our audacity, we often think differently. We want to create God in our image. We want to make the Lord be the kind of Lord that we want him to be. Religion is a kind of a cafeteria where we pick and choose what we want. And we, with our audacity, we make our own decisions about all of it. They took Jesus just as he was. And we need to take him like that. Love the things he loved. Hate the things he hated. When Jesus was being crucified, the soldiers cast lots for his robe. They didn't cut it into pieces. That would have caused it to unravel. They took, one of them took the whole robe. And that's how it is we mistake all of Jesus, all of him, just as he is, moving from audacity to acceptance of him. Now they were on the boat with Jesus. By the way, the Greek word for boat suggests that it's not a little rowboat, but a larger fishing boat. They're out in the sea, and some of the disciples know the sea well, know how those waves can stir up and rock the boat and all of that. And then the storm comes, and there they are in the sea, terrified. Sometimes we think, You know, when people are people of faith, their worries are gone, you know. Then all the troubles are taken care of. But it's not like that. We don't escape these things, but in him we find a way through. There they were in the boat, in peril, terrified, the waves flashing across the boat, water on the bottom of the boat, and when that happens, experienced sailors know that this is dangerous. And they went to Jesus. They went to Jesus, moving from peril to prayer. They went to Jesus saying, Master, don't you care that we are perishing? We cross over from peril to prayer. Going to him, asking him for a strength greater than our own, a peace the world can't give or take away. We sing the hymn, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. These disciples in peril went in prayer to Jesus. And Jesus responded. He always answers prayer in the way that he knows is best for us. On this particular occasion, he answered in a way that the disciples hoped he would. He said, as the text here says, peace be unto you. The Greek is more like telling the waves to hush up and keep quiet, something like that. And the wind died down, and the sea was calm. And the disciples were amazed. They had been there in fear. And now they had no choice but to believe. They moved from fear to faith. They said, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him? That's what this whole passage in Mark is intending to suggest, that this Jesus who came to walk the ways of our earth is God's divine Son who calms the seas in our lives and gives us a peace. He calmed the sea, even as he calmed us. And they moved from fear to faith. We have an advantage that they don't have. We live on the other side of Calvary in the resurrection. We know that God raised this Jesus from the dead, that he is Lord, even of death itself. That's who he is. We know who he is. And so we move from fear to faith. The next chapter tells us that they got to the other side, and immediately Jesus healed a Gerasene demoniac. And then in Matthew's gospel especially, this account is in all three synoptic gospels. In Matthew's gospel especially, the disciples are sent out and they come back saying, even the devils are subject to us in your name. They were amazed at the power they had. They moved from possessing Jesus to having a power to do things in his name, to do things for him. Does it ever occur to you that in the Lord you have that kind of power? You can speak to a person in a way nobody else can, whoever that person is. You can do this, you can do that. I just heard, I think, two or three days ago, the World Health Organization said that 1/6 of the people in the world are hungry. And I thought about that. That means in every dozen, every 12 people, two of them are hungry. And there are things that we can do. We have a power. We often don't use that power. We're like deep sea divers. We have, you know, the great big mass and the breathing apparatus and the suit and all that. Then we march into a bathroom and pull a plug out of the bathtub. They move from possessing Jesus to having a power. And there's one more crossing that I want to call attention to, the one to which I alluded in the beginning. It's moving from here to heaven as we cross the sea of life to the harbor. That That's what it's all about. That we grow closer to that shore. We talk about Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Then when the unknown breakers roar, then I hear him say to me, fear not, I will pilot you. With the open arms, he receives us to himself. And in ways we can't even begin to imagine, as Peter said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, the glories that shall be revealed in us. We move from here to heaven to be with him and to be with our beloved who are with him. So as I suggest, and this is the way I like to read scripture, I can dig into some words and this and that, and this may be helpful. But to read the words as they are, and to listen to the still small voice of God speaking through those words. And in today's text, I hear God saying, cross over from the head to the heart. Teachings alone are not enough. Cross over from perplexity to peace when evening comes and we don't see the sunshine in our lives. Cross over from the many to the master. The poet said, the one remains, the many change and pass. And that one is Jesus, as the epistle writer said, there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. We move over from the many to the master, leaving the crowd behind. And then taking Jesus just as he is, not trying to create God in our image, in our audacity, but moving from our audacity to acceptance of who Jesus is. And then as we sail across the sea of life and difficulties come and we know we're in peril, we go in prayer to him who alone can still the sea. And that's what he does in your life and in mine. He stills the sea and we cross over from fear to faith. And then people of faith, we know ourselves by God's grace to have a power that is beyond our own. We move from possessing Jesus to have a power in his name. And all the while as we live out our days, we do know that we're moving from here to heaven. So it is that we read, Jesus said to the disciples and says to us, let us go across to the other side. Amen.